Hey everybody, on this episode of Box Office Breakdown, John Wick double taps Avengers Endgame to take the top spot at the box office. We're going to break it all down next.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Box Office Breakdown.
Hey everybody, welcome to Box Office Breakdown. This is a show where we look back at the box office that was, and then we...
Prorog. Na-na-na-na.
Tight.
That was tight. That was tight. About the box office that lie ahead. I'm Frank Moran.
What's up? Carrie Lane here.
I'm Amy Cassandra Martinez.
And making us look good and sound even better, Brianna in the booth.
Hey everybody.
With a working mic.
Working mic. I don't have the right soundboard for the
nice.
But
we'll just got you on that one.
Yeah,
it's great.
Now, folks, as always, like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. While you're there, give it a thumbs up or 2 or 3 or 4 or however many thumbs you can do. And we've got the chat up and running. So share your thoughts about anything that we're talking about, Carrie. If they're watching after we stream live, what can they do?
Oh, yes, Frank. You all can comment down below.
So we're going to be breaking down the latest box office stuff. And then at the end of the show, where we do our little more in-depth spoiler reviews, we'll be doing that about one of this week's top releases. In fact, took number one at the box office, John Wick.
Woo!
Yeah. So you'll have plenty of time to tune out if you don't want to get spoiled for that film at all. Including Amy and Brie, who haven't seen the movie yet. So you guys will be walking away at that point.
Yeah, it'll be just Carrie and I. Thank you. Okay, I'll see you later. Yeah.
Either me or Amy, I believe, will be the loser, right? So we'll have to go see it.
That's right.
No.
Weren't you not the lowest?
Do we have those totals?
We do have those totals.
Yeah.
No, I don't think. I mean, if I don't remember, but I'm pretty sure Brie and I are not the losers. Mm-hmm. So I think it's fine.
Okay.
It's fine.
Sure.
Let's start with how much it made, and then we can find out who won or lost.
That's right. So, folks, coming out at number one, as I mentioned, John Wick took the number one shot there at the box office. $57 million.
Bam, bam, bam. I never know how
you didn't stick the landing.
Okay, I'll try it later.
All right. I'm excited about that. Yes, so I know Carrie and myself saw it. Carrie, we'll get into it in depth later, but overall, what did you think?
I liked it a lot. I think it's probably more fighting and more some intense violence than the other two, but it's one of those that's what you're kind of there for. Like, there's not as much, I would say, overall, like, intricate plot stuff going on, but there's a lot of great fight sequences, which is what, personally, I also love about John Wick, is these wider shots, longer takes, see everything in the fight. And so it's not, you know, these quick cuts where you're like, I didn't see anything. So I love that about it. There's a lot of humor. Or it's one of those that's so, like, crazy or absurd. Everyone's like, or a violent thing that is so... that was really fun with an audience to react to. Love the dogs.
Mm-hmm.
There's more than one dog. I thought very entertaining.
Yeah, so it kind of describes how you talk about like a horror film. They always like those quality kills.
Yes.
Yes. I feel like this is a film that starts strong, and then my enthusiasm for the film started dwindling. And by the end of it, I was like, okay.
Fair. I can see that. There was a sequence where there's a fight where there's some glass involved that you're like, they could have done maybe 2 beats shorter than what they did, because it was just a little bit like, we get it. Even I was like, okay. Like, even if I'm into the fighting and everything that's going on, it just went like, okay, we get it. But there was some real humor with some of the people in that sequence fighting, too.
Yeah, it's...
And there was a K-pop song, which made me so excited.
Yes, there you go.
I knew it, because I've seen them perform that song live, so that I was so excited when it came on in the movie. It's not in the main part of the movie, it's when he goes to the... When somebody goes to a ramen shop, it's playing on, like, the speaker there.
What band is it?
It's Kiari Pamu Pamu, and it's called Ninja.
Ooh.
Ninja Bang Bang. And so you'll hear like, do, ninja. And like, so you'll hear that word, but that's the one word in it that's English anyways.
Go ahead and download it, Amy.
I will.
Well, you know what? I was telling Frank right before this, it's very funny. On YouTube, a lot of people went to look it up because either during the movie or after they looked it up, because so many of the top comments are, John Wick sent me here. I came here because of John Wick. Aww. Who came here? And so I thought that was really kind of cool that people go, oh, this is an interesting song. Let me go look it up. And it's a weird video. So all her videos are weird, but that's why they're awesome.
Oh, it's a her. It's a she.
Yeah, female singer.
Oh, mm-hmm. Good for her. That's cool.
Yeah, I felt like John Wick, and I'll talk more about it at the end of the show when we get into this, some spoilers, felt like more of a pawn in this film, and I just felt like he was not as intelligent as I thought he could have been.
But okay, fair.
We'll get into that later.
Overall,
I mean, you know, if you like the John Wick films, it's worth seeing and all. I just feel like, sadly, of the three, this is probably my least favorite.
Interesting.
Which is kind of a bummer.
Okay.
But it was the subject of last week's box office bet. So, at $57 million, we have our winners and our loser for this here. Very exciting. Look at Amy. Look at everybody. Just look at Amy right now. She's so nervous. you know, we're going to go with the winner as me, everybody. Look at me. I did it with a $52 million bet, guys.
Nice.
Just right in there. Right on that sweet spot. Carrie at $47
million. Right.
Look at that. Just $10 million shy. Amy at $42 million. So look at that. That's $15 million shy.
But then we had one more, right?
Then we have one more. We have Brianna in the booth. She did. She went big, which I applaud. $72 million there. So that is $15 million as well. Look at that.
Oh, so that's a tie.
That is a
tie. We have to go see it together.
Oh, my gosh.
Right?
Let's do it. Let's see your scene. Well, okay. Have you seen the first two?
I've seen the first one. I have to watch the second one.
Wait, have you seen the first two?
I've seen the first part of the first one.
Because yes.
Nothing to do with the movie. It was just super late. I wanted to. Okay.
There you go.
Wow. Those ones are a good, like, triple feature, though, of.
Yeah.
That would be interesting to watch because they are relatively right after kind of timing of how they happen. So that would be kind of fun of either same day, be adventurous, or, you know, space that out.
I know some stuff about John Wick Chapter 3 Parabellum, which, wow, that's a long title.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know some stuff about it. So I don't know. I think after the first 30 minutes of the first one, I was already super angry. So I didn't really have to carry that intensity.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, weren't you?
Angry?
Yes.
Really?
Because the dog? Let's take care of these.
Well, yeah.
But you know what? Mm-hmm. They make a good... There's kind of actually a good joke in that, in the third one.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was so angry. I was like, put me in, coach. I'll help you.
Yes.
Oh, all right. Amy getting the double taps in.
You'll appreciate the third one. They acknowledge that and make light of it, too.
Huh.
Yeah. That's all. I'll say. Just say that.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have to leave before we get really into what
that means.
Of course. Coming to number two, finally, Avengers Endgame takes a break from the number one spot to go down to number two. That made $29.4 million. So to a little over $770 million domestically. $2.6 billion, I believe, internationally right now.
Mm-hmm.
Or worldwide, excuse me. So
worldwide.
Coming ever so closer to that Avatar total.
Yeah. Getting there.
So I believe it's 170 million, as I think is what they said, to catch Avatar. So,
we had totally people leave comments in the last video going, yes and nope, not going to happen.
Well,
is it Star Drew? Is that the yes and no at the same time?
Everybody, yeah.
Star Drew would go, yes, it would, and no, it wouldn't in the same comment.
Both.
It's that between 25 and 27.
That's right.
Yes.
I know that there are still some people watching it. I know people on Instagram and on Twitter, they were like, yep, still watching it for the first time.
Oh, wow.
Last week, and I was like, I knew you guys existed. So, Memorial Day is next weekend.
True.
Right?
It is.
Yeah, so more people are going to go see it. It's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, because we have some other big films opening up this next weekend as well, too, to see how Avengers Endgame holds up.
Mm.
Coming number three, Pokemon Detective Pikachu made another $24.8 million. Number four, a new film into the box office was A Dog's Journey. They had $8 million there from Universal.
You know, good for the dogs.
Yeah.
This weekend.
Good for them.
Good for them. Good. Making their mark in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. Even
making
more.
Their bark.
Taking a bite out of Hollywood.
Oh,
you guys.
That's right. There you go. We did it. We did it, everybody. Yeah. Okay.
Time for a cat nap. Switch. Different animal.
That was arful.
Okay, guys. Let's bring it back. Anyways.
And rounding out our top five was The Hustle there from United Artists. A little over $6 million this week. So that was our top five for this week. We will have another box office bet coming in for next week. As I said, it's a Memorial Day weekend. We're going to launch some big films. We're starting really to get into the midst of the summer. So we have three films that are vying for your vote for our box office bet. So feel free to start hopping in the chat, casting your vote for one of these three films, and whichever one gets the most votes, we will do that film for our box office bet towards the end of the show. Mm-hmm. We have Aladdin coming out from Disney, the live-action remake of that animated classic. Booksmart.
Yes!
Olivia Wilde. That, man, that looks great.
I am so happy for everyone that worked on that film.
Yeah, that looks really good. And then we have Brightburn, the James Gunn produced, kind of the Superman story, if it had gone into like a horror film kind of territory.
I don't think I've heard about that at all.
Really?
I was just looking up. I'm like, what is that movie?
They had a big, well, I mean, it all
they have not been pushing more on it then. Maybe.
Well, I mean, they have been. I mean, it was supposed to have a big splash at last year's Comic-Con, and then that was also the day that everything dropped about James Gunn being released from Guardians of the Galaxy. Mm. So he did not attend that event. So I think that kind of took a little bit the wind out of its sails for it, and it was being really hyped to Comic-Con last year. But I mean,
it's an interesting idea. Sounds
yeah,
good.
I mean, the trailer looks interesting. If you want to see the Superman story as a
reverse,
you know,
essentially,
yeah, he just grows up to be just an evil dude.
And like then. You got excited about Booksmart?
Yeah, I'm very excited. Because Olivia Wilde, it's her
whatever you want to say.
No.
I think tomatoes.
She's behind the camera.
She's doing the thing. She's directing everyone. And yeah, it was most of the cast. Yeah, most of the cast, if not all of the cast. And a lot of the crew. Most of the crew is women. And it's just like her little baby, and like she just, I don't know, I've seen just how passionate she is through Instagram and even on Twitter. Like there have been a lot of like early screenings, and she's so excited about that. So,
I was bummed because I know they were doing that, and I had a conflict. I would love to have gone to see an early screening of this film because the trailer looks great. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So you got Jason Sudeikis in there, Will Forte, Lisa Kudrow. I think it'll be really that. And there's the other one that Seth Rogen is executive producing, The Good Boys. Yeah, where it's
Good Boys is a Amazon Prime.
Oh no, yeah, is it? Yeah,
Good Boys. I've never heard of that.
I don't think I've heard of it either.
I want to say it's Good Boys, but basically it's like Superbad, but with kids that are even younger. Yeah, so you know, kind of like middle school.
Yeah,
but it looks great, rated R. The trailer looks fantastic. If you I'm sure they'll be playing the trailer again if you go see Booksmart. So
I'm excited.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, you should be. Yeah, you should be, Amy.
Well, I am.
All right.
Good.
So, real quick, folks, some international numbers here. John Wick, their Parabellum. Prepare for war. That's what that means, Amy.
Prepare for war.
Yeah.
But the title just includes Parabellum.
Yeah, but that's what it means.
Parabellum means.
Imagine, though, if they put that.
John Wick, Prepare for War.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like that better, the Parabellum?
I don't think so. I like saying Parabellum.
All right.
Parabellum. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Parabellum. it's fun to say. Parabellum. Try it at home. Let us know.
It took a hit on its predecessors at the international box office, opening to $35.2 million in 66 markets. And each of those, the starts were higher than John Wick and John Wick Chapter 2. So coupled with a terrific domestic launch, the global total through Sunday is $92.2 million for a franchise best debut.
Oh, that's pretty good.
So, I mean, certainly, and it is, excuse me, it is left at the end of the film that the story can definitely continue.
Yes.
It's set up in such a space there. So, I know Keanu said that he would love to continue to do these films as long as the audience is interested, and certainly by this opening box office weekend,
good
it definitely
numbers.
Is interest
yeah.
for it.
Yeah, I know Halle Berry really, really, really wanted to be a part of this, so she was pushing, you know, for the director, to like meet with the director and say like, hey, I really want to be a part of this. And so when she was actually there, she really worked hard.
It shows.
In really fast. So yeah. Good Boys is a movie coming to the box office in August that is Seth Rogen, but he also has an Amazon or a
The Boys.
Red band called The Boys
based
that
on
he's producing
series.
As well. That's where the confusion is. That's
got
the
it.
Prime.
Good Boys and The Boys.
That's
so
right.
He's really about The Boys.
Okay.
Look at that. Thank you, Bree.
Yay.
Well, also think of another movie that's coming up that I love the trailer. Do you guys see the trailer for Always Be My Maybe?
Yes. Ali Wong.
I knew you'd be all excited on that too. Yeah. Rom-com.
I did see it.
It's not like boring and predictable. Even just the freaking trailer. Because
the trailer's super funny. Mm-hmm.
They can get really cookie cutter. The trailers even can. You're like, cool. Just saw the movie. Thanks. Bye.
It's going to be on Netflix and in theaters. And We won't tell you what he does, but since we were talking about John Wick, Keanu Reeves is in it at the very end. Stay for that clip part of it because that's very entertaining. And I mean, some people are like, wow, if I could, like for Ali Wong, they're like, wow, if I could have like all those guys in my movie, like brava for her of going, I want to cast these deliciously looking men of in my movie, essentially. It's a consensus delicious. On Twitter. Yes.
There you go.
Very handsome dudes.
Wow. All right. Only to be described as delicious. I'll never know what that feels like. So basically, John Wick Chapter 3 landed number one in 53 of its markets, led by the UK, which was 62% over what John Wick Chapter 2 did. Last time around, the film's best offshore total was ultimately in... Amy, you know the answer?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It was Germany.
Germany. That's what I was going to say.
I know
that's actually
were.
What I said. That, mm-hmm,
yep, that's right.
Germany.
That was Germany. That was German
right.
for Germany.
Germany. Exactly. Yes.
Excellent. The UK and Russia had solid numbers as well. Again, that's the case so far. Germany, France, and Spain are looking to be the big holders, but they still haven't released John Wick Chapter 3 yet. But they're all estimating that those three are going to be the ones that are going to take the prize internationally. Pokemon Detective Pikachu got to number one at the international box office there with $53.8 million in 72 markets. So the overseas total now is 193.4 with a worldwide total of $287.4 million. And as we mentioned last week, the sequel was already greenlit even before this first film was released. So.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but this is the highest grossing movie based on a...
Pokemon character.
Video game?
Video game kind of a thing, right? But it's more of like a...
Well, so far more people are happy with this has been an actual successful transition from a video game to a movie.
Like that, exactly. Because obviously there was a show.
Yeah, catch them all.
I know that, yeah.
There you go.
Does it remember?
That's right.
And there's been other video games and movies that many people would argue are good or bad transitions. Yeah. Adaptations.
Of course, Avengers Endgame, guys. It's I don't know if you've heard about this film.
Movie.
Yeah, I'm sure it probably slipped under your radar because there's so many other big things happening.
About it.
It is added another $46.8 million in 55 offshore markets. It dropped 55% versus last weekend, but still, heck, still doing great numbers. So internationally, the total is $1.84 billion for $2.61 billion globally. So that puts it about $173 million between that and Avatar. So
wow.
It should only be a week or two.
By the end of the month, I think three.
Three weeks.
No, because I said by the end of the month.
Okay, so it's got to happen.
So I need it to happen.
All right, so folks, you've heard Amy. Everybody, please. Drop what you're doing right now. Go see Avengers Endgame right now.
See it twice.
That's right. Make sure
it
lands
stay
by the
there.
End of the month. And, of course, debuting in 14 Universal markets was A Dog's Journey, which got $3 million and has $15.5 million overseas total, including $12 million from non-Universal territories.
So we had A Dog's Way Home? A Dog's...
That was A Dog's Life.
There was A Dog's Purpose. There was that one. There's, like, the Purpose one, Way Home.
This is, I think, the second. This is Journey.
Yeah, this is A Dog's Journey.
Another Journey.
One? Is what I'm trying
Maybe
to
it's
ask.
Just the two?
Just the two.
Okay.
I mean, it could. I mean, I guess it all depends on how much it costs to make this one.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. I got really confused in the theater when I saw the trailer for A Dog's Journey. I was like, wait, what? I thought we already covered this.
Oh, you know why? Because there was another one. So this is the one that I have not seen any of these. But based on the trailers, there's the one where it's, the dog dies and comes back. Like in another dog, essentially, and is back to the owner. And this is a similar concept to that. But then there's another one where the dog, like essentially a homeward bound thing where it got separated.
Yeah.
I think that's the one that I'm thinking of that's like the way the home something. Which,
yeah.
But they all kind of came out around the same time.
Yeah, the first one that you were talking about is this one is the sequel.
It's a
yes.
Sequel.
With your pal Dennis Quaid.
Yeah.
I don't know why when you were talking about that for a split second, I was like, Homeward Bound?
Well, there's another one. It's that kind of concept, too, of, like, the dog went, somehow got out or whatever, and them trying to get back home.
You can just watch the trailer, because the trailer at the end even shows you they get connected.
I'm like, just the trailer on the dog one.
The dog and the cat.
Milo and Otis.
That one.
Yeah. Love that one. That's another one.
I was waiting to throw that one in there.
I had a Milo and an Otisina.
Otisina.
Because Otis sounded too masculine for her.
Oh, Otisina.
Otisina. I don't know about that one.
That's your
Odie for short.
It's my middle name?
Sure. Yeah.
It is? Oh, thank you.
I found your certificate. You actually left it here last week.
Whoops. Yeah. That's dumb me. Oops.
Odesina, you know.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to do our, we look ahead. We've got our box office bet, and we're going to do our box office rewind right now. Thank you, Amy.
You're welcome.
We'll take a look at one of the actors that are going to be in one of the upcoming films this weekend, and that is our pal Will Forte.
Hey.
And, yeah, this is all for Amy because, you know, she's a big comedy person. She's getting involved in this comedy stuff.
You saw.
Yeah, getting involved in that comedy, doing those bits now.
Doing those bits.
Doing those bits.
You know, follow me on Instagram.
There you
I'll
go.
Say it later. I'll say my handle later, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you guys got to keep watching the rest of the show.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you want because if you get it now, then you're going to
like,
tune out.
Bye.
Yeah. I got all I needed. I just needed Amy's handle.
Stay right
I'm
here.
I'm out. I'm out.
Don't go anywhere.
So Will Forte's top five grossing films are at the box office. He had a couple more in addition to this, but those are for voice roles only. We're talking live action. Top five. Opening weekend at the box office. Coming in at number five, that's the whole reason I did it, because, you know, it's MacGruber. And people are very split, I feel, about MacGruber. That came back out in 2010 from Universal, made a little over $4 million.
Which was that one?
MacGruber, based on his SNL character. MacGruber!
Nope, did not see
Which is
see
a
that
takeoff
one.
Of MacGyver.
Okay.
He had little runners that he would do throughout the course of SNL. And it was always about, they'd be in a room with 15 seconds left on the clock, and then some kind of bit would happen, and then everything would explode.
Yeah.
But then they went and made a whole movie out of it. And some people really loved it, and other people were like, "It's you took too long. The common complaint, where they take a sketch and they try to make it a 90-minute movie.
Joe Dirt, that was one, right? Wasn't he an SNL
David Spade?
Yeah. That one I remember liking, but I also saw it when I was younger, that I'm like, it probably was really bad, but it was funny then.
Okay.
Superstar?
Yep, Molly Shannon.
That one, I'm like, that was actually, I remember that one being funny, though.
So Molly Shannon, that was a true SNL spinoff. Joe Dirt was just David Spade. Somebody gave him money to do a movie. And he said, Joe Dirt is what I want to do.
All right. Ultimate SNL spinoff, Wayne's World.
That's true. That's a very good point.
Night at the Roxbury.
Oh, Night at Roxbury. That one's a good one, too.
Oh, those are my least. Yeah, those are my least favorite
I didn't watch
guys.
A ton of SNL enough to be like, better or worse, but I was like, oh, I thought that movie was kind of funny.
I was excited to hear your hot take on MacGruber, Carrie, because I know you are very particular about your comedy liking.
This is true, but I haven't seen MacGruber. So
all right. You know, it's one of those where I first watched it and I walked away disappointed. I wonder if I should go watch it again to see if I feel.
There are different. Some movies like that I watch that was comedy and you're like, okay, maybe that's a little dumb. And then later you're like re-saying the jokes and you go, okay, I guess it was kind of funny.
Or even horror, too.
Yeah.
There was a movie that I saw recently, Stitches.
Is that the one with the clown? Yeah.
And is like it good? The first 10 minutes, you're kind of like, whoa, that's what happens. And then after that, you're like, oh, this is kind of dumb. Like, it's not that great. But I've been thinking about that freaking movie, like, for a while now. I'm like, no, I actually had a lot of fun. So now, like, in hindsight, I gave it, like, 2 stars when I first saw it. Now I'm like, that's a 4.
Wow.
I know.
That's a big huge jump. Leap.
I know.
What is your star rating out of, like, 10?
5.
5? Holy cow.
Wow.
That's a lot to do with how a movie makes you feel even weeks after.
Okay. So did you go revise your 2-star to a 4?
Not yet.
But you will.
I will, maybe.
Got it. So you really shouldn't review films or give your star rating until like several weeks after. So you can really see how it settles.
No, because then I'll forget sometimes. If it's not good and I really know it's not good, then I'll put it as like a 2 or a 1.5.
Can you go back and adjust it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. I use Letterboxd, not sponsored.
Okay.
I don't know how I'd get sponsored. It's free. It's an app. Use it. Follow me.
Are there ads on it?
Wow.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
No, and it's a nice way to keep track of the movies that you see. So this year I'm really like trying to watch a crap ton of movies. So I've seen 78.
Nice.
Well, look at that.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
But follow Amy. Just follow her.
Just do it. You can watch movies and talk about them. Like here.
I've been watching more anime because Anime Expo is coming up. And I did, you know, it's funny. I did the exact same thing a couple years ago because there's a service, Crunchyroll, not sponsored.
Oh.
One of those. And that's, you can pay, you can have it for free or you pay and have no commercials and you get like special episodes that like you can't get it yet, like Hulu or something where you'd have to wait. And I did it. I looked at my previous history and the same kind of time period, bought it a few months before Anime Expo. So I'm like, let's power through all the current shows so I can be caught up by the time of the convention. And so doing the same thing again, I just thought it was kind of funny. Look at my past history and go, yep, still think the same way.
There you go. Coming in number four for Will Forte's top five opening box office weekend films, Beer Fest from Warner Brothers, 2006. Anybody see that? It made $7 million.
Nope.
That's by the guys that did Club Dread, as well as their Canadian Mounties film.
Super Troopers.
Super Troopers. Yes. Yeah. And Super Troopers 2, which came out to disappointing numbers last year.
Yeah, I remember Super Troopers 2.
No, I
didn't see it. I remember us talking about it.
There you go. Well, if you want to see a guy plunged into a giant vat of beer and try to save himself by drinking that vat of beer before he drowns, then this is the film for you.
Wow.
Yeah, go check that out. Does he make it? Who knows? You have to go watch the film and find out.
Does he get alcohol poisoning because he drank it all?
I'm never going to tell you. You have to go see it. I don't
want
to
ruin that.
Bet
they don't even think of that one.
Coming in number three, Keanu from Warner Brothers back in 2016. $9.4 million. The Michael Keegan Key and Jordan Peele.
Keegan-Michael Key.
There you go. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Whoops.
You got that.
I did not see that as well. I mean, I remember seeing the trailer.
I remember his big deal. People liked it.
Yeah.
But
it's I should have seen it already. It's like right up my alley. Yeah, it's a cute cat. That's the name of the cat, Keanu. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
We're talking about Keanu Reeves. Like, yeah. It kind of works. Yeah. But I want
him. He's a cool cat.
All right. Yeah. But wait, Amy, how would somebody know if you finally did see it?
You guys could follow me on Letterboxd.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. And it's Letterboxd without the E after, like, X-E-D. It's not. It's just Letterboxd.
Got it. Coming in number two, The Watch from Fox, 2012, $12.7 million. Anybody see that film?
I don't think so.
Man, you guys.
I know. I'm like, I haven't seen this list.
The Watch, that was what, the Ben Stiller film where it's The Neighborhood Watch.
Yep. Nope.
Nope. Okay.
Interesting.
And then lastly, Baby Mama.
I mean.
Finally, we hit Amy Cassandra Martinez's sweet spot here. From Universal back in 2008, $17.4 million.
That's the one with Tina Fey and Amy Poehler.
That is.
Yeah, that's why I watched it.
Nope.
There you go.
It's surprisingly good and heartfelt. Because you think like, oh, okay. Like the whole gist of it is like she gets pregnant, like. Amy Poehler's character gets pregnant, and then she's kind of like carrying the baby for Tina Fey. And you think like it's just gonna be really cheesy, but there's a lot of heart to it. It's really beautiful. I do not remember Will Forte in it at all.
Do you remember Steve Martin in it?
No.
Okay. Dax Shepard.
I love Steve. No. Okay. Well, no.
Okay. Do you remember the film?
I remember Amy Poehler and Tina Fey being amazing in it. Yes.
Okay. All right, well, there you go. There you go.
Yep.
So is it something you can rate on Letterboxd?
I mean, I haven't seen it recently, so it's only for this year. When I watch it again, I'll rate it. And there's a thing where you can put, like, it's my second time watching it.
Oh, that's cool.
But, like, I've seen it before. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Guys, really, follow
it's
this.
It's great.
Follow
I like having a list. It's very helpful.
All right, folks, before we get into our box office bet, which is for three films, if you can keep voting away there in the chat, we've got Aladdin, Booksmart, and Brightburn. So keep voting away, but we'll do what we think next week's top five will look like. So we've got Aladdin at 4,300 screens, Booksmart at 2,300 plus, and Brightburn at 2,600. Do you see Aladdin taking the number one at the box office?
I feel that one could be a really hit or miss with people in terms of you have people that are very... Actually, wait, three. They're super excited for it. They're completely turned off, or they're your, like, car accident curious of, like, I want to maybe see this possible wreck of a movie.
How do each of you feel right now, only seeing what you've seen in the trailers or whatnot, how you think the movie's going to be?
I don't know how it's going to be. But I hope they put something new in there. Because, like, with Cinderella, we got to see more on the evil stepmother. Made it much more interesting as a viewer of, like, cool, we have not heard that part of the story yet. I'm really curious what they'll do for Aladdin, and I hope they put something new. I don't know if it's her friend, but they released a part of a song sequence, and there's, like, a woman with her, and with Jasmine. I'm like, no, the whole point is she's all by herself, and, like, literally her tiger is her only friend. And so she's very lonely. So if you have somebody, and even if she's a servant, that's still, like, a female of the same age, that they could be buddies and stuff like that. So I'm just really curious of what they can add new, and I hope they do. But let's say maybe it's going to be, like, a C+ for some people. Like, it won't be, I don't think people are going to be like, it's atrocious, but I think with the song that came out, like, the, I don't know, did you guys see the clip that came out?
Yeah, with
Patel, it was Lee, a bit like, eh. Like, they go, eh. Like, it, like a C+. Like, you pass, but not stellar.
Okay. Amy?
Yeah, I am so confused with how I feel about it. I'm very confused because growing up, Aladdin wasn't my favorite, but I was like, yeah, Princess Jasmine's pretty cool. I want to be like her. But yeah, and I've actually heard like really good things about it. So maybe that, you know, talk about it will help it, but I'm very confused right now.
Because I feel like Jungle Book, I mean, it was a pretty close adaptation to the animated film. So I was like, but I seem to enjoy that. But Beauty and the Beast, I did not enjoy.
I like Jungle Book more than Beauty and the Beast.
So for this one, I worry that it's going to make me feel more like I did when I watched Beauty and the Beast, which is ultimately frustrated. And why did you even spend the time remaking this?
Are they doing any other songs besides Will Smith?
Whole New World. Yeah. That's in the trailer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's in the trailer. Well, that's true. Will Smith, Friend Like Me.
Yeah, and I'm sure they'll do the Street Rat with Aladdin as he runs through the bazaar at the beginning of the film.
I hope so.
Didn't they do the parade, too? Didn't we see
that? That was the Prince Ali.
Yeah, Prince Ali.
And it's just a note that's probably not in Will Smith's range. And there's no oomph behind the song.
There was someone that said that they sped it up online. I haven't watched that yet, but that they sped it up online and it became, like, infinitely better.
It felt slow. Yeah, that's it really sad. Felt like the energy was lackluster in it. Like, it looks visually beautiful that I'm like, cool, but it felt like, eh.
I don't know.
You're like, what? Where's that, like,
yeah,
drive? Where's that fire to it? Like, it really felt like me.
I mean, you get someone like Will Smith that can really...
And he has charisma.
He can really drop the beat, you know, like, really get in there.
Big Willie style?
Yeah.
That's right. There you go.
Right? He's a singer, and this song felt really like, eh.
Well, and, like, also, you know, if you've got, Lin-Manuel Miranda, like, for Mary Poppins, like, they didn't use him as much as they should have, personally.
True.
So that's, yeah. I just want to make sure that they, like, use him the way that they should, but now it's kind of too late. We'll see.
You say something, Brie? She was not going to say. Okay. But hi. Hi, anyway.
Hi.
So, anybody think that Aladdin will take number one?
I actually kind of do, yeah.
Okay. I still feel it can do well, though, of enough parents taking kids, you know, because it's family-friendly enough.
Yeah, I think kids, because of the kids aspect, it'll overtake John Wick for sure.
Yeah.
So, we're seeing possibly Aladdin, John Wick. Do you think either Booksmart or Brightburn could beat Avengers?
So even if Avengers drops 50, that's like 15.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to be hopeful and say that Booksmart does.
That would be cool.
I'd like to root for that as well.
Yeah.
So then we'd think Aladdin.
I'm thinking Aladdin, one. John Wick.
John Wick.
Booksmart.
Avengers.
I don't think Brightburn.
I feel that one's not gotten that much traction in terms of advertising.
No.
That people would be like, wait, what movie?
I'm going to say that Avengers stays number 3.
Okay.
Okay.
Then, I mean, I don't want this, but I could feel that Detective Pikachu could come in 4, and then I'll put Booksmart at number 5. I think it's going to be a great film, and I think this would be a slow burn.
Mm.
Where
not a bright burn.
Yeah, not a bright burn, but a slow burn. Mm. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Brightburn, I don't. That one is a mystery for me because there's been the trailers, but there hasn't been as much of an aggressive thing. I feel like. In terms of Aladdin,
Booksmart. I also don't feel they've been pushing advertising as much.
I feel like they really have.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah.
And the fact that they've been doing early screenings, I feel like they feel confident that they know that they've got a solid film. Like, I just don't know if it's enough people are going to go see it opening weekend.
Do it.
Change that. I'll do Aladdin, John Wick, Avengers, Booksmart, and Pokemon.
All right. So none of us think that Brightburn can make the top 5.
No.
All right.
I like this one in the chat. Emre Gunn says, Curiosity Factor will bring Aladdin to number 1.
Yeah.
I do think a lot of people, a lot of people, even if they're not super excited, are like, well, let's see how it is.
No, I mean, I feel like that's how I'm going to be approaching it this weekend. Like,
I'd say, like, it will never be the animated movie. Like, anytime it's a remake, it will never be that other thing. but let's see if they bring something cool or new to the table. And that's what would make it interesting or a good film.
Well, something new and cool that would make sense. Not that is like out of left field where you're like, oh, dang it. Like you tried, but it didn't.
You're like, why'd you do that?
Yeah.
Like I think the reason that like Jungle Book people really liked versus Beauty and the Beast and why Aladdin and Lion King might have a harder time. I think Lion King will still do well, but is that especially for our generation, we grew up with these films. These are like our films. Like Little Mermaid, Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast, Lion King, like that was like anyone from the like 25 to 35 age range, like that was their childhood. So it's that nostalgia factor you have to push past because we're like, we like the one we grew up with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, the idea of like kids having like kids now seeing a live action Jasmine, like that's pretty cool.
Or I had a friend online, she was talking about how loved Who Framed Roger Rabbit and the idea of cartoon and live action, and then Detective Pikachu felt like that's that same kind of movie for this group of youngsters, which I was like, yeah, that's a good point too.
Yep.
Where's our Treasure Planet live action remake?
Yes, please, and Atlantis. Can we get Atlantis and Treasure Planet?
That's all right.
Fun. See, that would be the smarter thing is like take the ones that aren't as super well known and that aren't like a million versions of it or not as like, though the people who really like them, we're pretty much like, they're really good. Like those would be the cooler ones to remake.
But don't go see Atlantis 2. That's not a good one. That's
it's a directed. Right. I didn't know there was a second one.
It's directed DVD.
Aww.
You see the steep dive in animation quality. You're like, okay. Folks, we got to do our box office bet real quick before we do our rapid fire spoiler review of John Wick 3. So, of course, we got Aladdin, Booksmart, and Brightburn. What does it look like in the chat, Carrie?
Yes, what are your thoughts? It was getting a little close, so what is our final count?
It looks like they said Aladdin won.
Oh, okay. Prince Ali, mighty is he.
And Neela J is similar of my thoughts, too. Said, love Jungle Book and Cinderella, the live action, but Maleficent and Beauty and the Beast were just okay. Didn't hate them, but didn't love them either. Though I did like Maleficent. It's a story we hadn't seen yet, though, like, it would have been better to keep her more evil, but that's okay.
All right. So we've got Aladdin, 4,300 screens there from Disney. So, all right, we'll do our box office bet. Folks, yes, if this is the first time you're watching the box office bet, we will vote on the film that you, yes, you folks there in the chat room have betted on, or voted on, excuse me. We will all bet what we think the opening box office total will be. The winner gets to be like me, the prognosticator. Prognosticators bask in that glory. The loser will be like Amy and Bree. We'll have to go see this film and then tell us all about it.
Yay. Wait, did we already, we said
does that
won?
Make us the loser or the winner?
Or no, what did
we, right?
Somebody what? Said Booksmart won.
Oh, did it? Oh.
Well, Stardrew said Nuts, Booksmart won.
Oh, Nuts. Okay, then reverse course, folks. It's going to be Booksmart then. We will go. I mean, this is the votes in the chat.
Well, we did it last time too, where John Wick and we all said number one. So
yeah, all right, we got Booksmart then. If that's what Star the chat Drew, has decided,
is that what it is?
Or is Star Drew just saying that's what he wanted?
I know, right?
Come on,
no,
come
I already
on.
Put my bet.
Well, then Grade said Aladdin won. So
okay, so all right, we got to go with Aladdin then, folks.
Well, all we all said number one, so let's then that's a fun one.
There you go. So all right, let me jump this in here.
I put a number, I changed it, and then I left it how it was in the first place.
Okay.
Okay. All right, I'm typing this one in. Everybody locked in?
Yes, Aladdin. Thank you.
Bree, you good to go?
Thank you. Great.
Yeah, I'm good.
All right, Bree, we will kick it off with you. What do you think Aladdin will make its opening weekend?
I think I'm going to stay with what I did last weekend and say 72.
All right. Look at that. Playing that safe number. There we go. We got 72 for Bree. Amy?
Dang it. 50.
Ooh, interesting choice. All right. 50. Not much confidence there.
56.
All right. Well, I feel like the outlier on this one then. I went big with $88 million.
Whoa.
There you go. I was inspired by Brie and her big swings. I'm going to go for it this week.
You know, sometimes they can definitely surprise you.
There you go. I'm going to call my shot this weekend, guys, and see how it pays off for me. So, folks, that's going to do it for this part of the Box Office Breakdown Show. We got a couple minutes left. We're going to do a rapid-fire, spoiler-filled take on John Wick Chapter 3 Parabellum. Folks, if this is your chance to tune out.
Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert!
That's right. So, folks, if you're tuning out right now, thanks for watching us. As always, like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Give it a thumbs up, 2, 3, 4, however many thumbs up you can do. And Carrie, if they're watching after we stream live, what can they do?
Yes, comment down below.
So everybody, thanks for hopping in the chat here. If you want to stay in touch with any of us, even after the show's over, Bree, where can they find you?
You guys can find me at Bree, B-R-I underscore Phipps, P-H-I-P-P-S on Twitter and Instagram.
And you guys can find me on all social media at Amy Cassandra M-T-Z.
Nailed it.
Thank you.
And you can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E.
And follow me on the Twittergrams there at Happy Go Jackie. Folks, thanks for joining us here for this portion of Box Office Breakdown. Stick around for a spoiler-filled take on John Wick. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
Okay, this is where I leave
spoilers.
Bye. Yeah. Bye, Amy. See you later.
Well, we can say spoilers, but not ruin the movie for her.
Well, right. I'm definitely okay. Going into deep dive in the ruin. I'm ruined it.
Okay, loved Halle Berry with the dogs. Oh my gosh, those dogs were amazing, and her fighting was amazing. Someone else in the chat pointed out that she actually joined the stunt union and to be able to do some of the stuff because they're like, you can't do it because you're not in the union. And then also she apparently broke some ribs doing it. So I'm like, wow.
Yeah, there is behind the scenes footage of her like just going to work at the shooting ranges and stuff. Yeah. And you watch her, she's doing it. Yeah, for sure.
She and apparently the director was even changing the choreography for everything, like all the stunts, even up until that, like they started filming.
Nice.
So that's crazy. She was terrified, but she was totally game. Yeah. Respect the whole franchise.
No, she did great because there are very long takes in that sequence. Yes. There. And that sequence.
And big area covered too. Everyone has to be on their game.
It almost goes on a little too long where you're just like
maybe a hair like yeah. There were some fight bits where you're like
yeah it's like it's great but it's like yeah. Okay gosh we get it you're killing yeah. Just lots of people. My issues with Keanu, it's like this introduces a lot of mythology as you watch these films, Amy. Yeah. You see that they and it's kind of intriguing the worlds that they introduce and the yes. Mythology that they introduce, but I feel like this time the mythology just got a little too much and I feel okay. Like John Wick, like, I wanted to see him be smarter, and I just felt like there are choices that he makes at the end of the film.
Constantly.
Yes. Yeah. And then there's things at the end where I felt like, wait, is he in on stuff? And then, no, he's just like, he's been duped. And I'm like, well, why are you letting other people kind of dictate the choices that you're making in this film?
Because he's tired. Oh, my gosh. Going through that movie would be... I would go with, yeah, he's just been... Because this is literally... This picks up right after the last one.
It's like absolutely. 15,
so he's
hours,
exhausted.
15 minutes.
Yeah. So yeah. It's like... I would go with, yeah, he's just literally playing catch up, which, I mean, yeah, that is disappointing because when he's been so on top of the game, but then that's fine because you're ready for them to come back and kick ass for the next one.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely sets you up at the end of the film that you want to see number four, and this one you hope to see, like, John Wick finally saying, yeah, all right, yeah. I'm burning everything down around me.
I think the two guys that he fought in the glass area will be back because they didn't die.
No, I mean, there's always like...
And they were awesome.
Yeah, whether it's Common in the second film, I mean, who knows if he's dead or not.
Right.
I mean, he's left in a position where he could still
right.
Get to medical assistance. He could be saved, but
I just like to go, I'm a big fan. Yeah. It's an honor to fight you. Like, that was funny, but that made sense of like, if you were a legit fighter and you meet someone who's a worthy opponent. So I appreciate the humor. Did you like all the humor in it?
I did. It was, of course, like those two guys are from the Raid films. And so, I mean, they're incredible fighters. So there's almost that little bit where it's like as awesome as Keanu is and as dedicated as he is to learning the fight choreography, it's almost the like part of you like in real life, he would not stand a chance against
these
guys.
Well, they kind of make a point, too, that like he is just that good. And I mean, yes, you're making this character that good. But if that's the mythology of that world, I'll go with it.
Yay. Yeah, my last thing real quick there is that they set up a 7-day window for both Lawrence Fishburne and my other guy from Deadwood.
And American Gods.
Yes. So Lawrence Fishburne gets his thing after 7 days, but it never happens to our boy there at the at Continental.
Not the same way, no.
Yeah, but so I don't understand like why he got his punishment and nothing happened to the guy at the Continental. Like 7 days passed and nothing happened. All right, folks, that's going to do it for this episode of Box Office Breakdown. We'll see you back here next Sunday. Go see some movies!
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.